Let's turn to God's word together, and as we do so, let's just join together in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you're a faithful God who's able to speak into our hearts and into our minds. We thank you for your word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword. And we pray, Lord God, as we consider your word today, that you would be with us and that you would speak through it. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have your Bible there, please do turn back to Matthew chapter 9, or do turn it up on the intimation sheet this morning. On an occasion like this, when we are celebrating the church's birthday effectively, it's sometimes hard to think about what to speak on or what to preach about. And as I was thinking about this a few weeks ago, I was drawn back to the series that we were looking at last year in Matthew's Gospel. And we'd looked at quite a bit of Matthew's Gospel, beyond the Sermon on the Mount, and we'd reached chapter 9. And in this Gospel, we've been following the life of Jesus. We'd been seeing that he was revealing himself through his teaching and his miracles to be the Messiah, to be the very Son of God. And there were many that were being impacted by his ministry. And I was drawn back to this series that we were doing and where we left it off in Matthew chapter 9. Because I felt that this passage was relevant to us and to where we are in the life of the church today. In the passage that we read today, we see Jesus healing two blind men and casting out a demon who was making a man mute. And in these miracles, we of course see the power of Jesus, don't we? But we also see what kind of Messiah, what kind of Savior Jesus has come to be. We of course live in a time where publicity and making a name for yourself is very much valued, isn't it? If you know anything about the internet world or YouTube or any of these things, there are people on YouTube and Instagram who are known as influencers. And so they get as many followers as they possibly can. They make short videos, and that basically is their employment. That's what they do. It's all about publicity. It's all about advertising certain products. But what we see in this passage is Jesus doing the very opposite. I wonder if you noticed that in the passage. You'll notice that often Jesus intentionally shuns the limelight. And in this passage, what we see is these two blind men are calling out to Jesus. But interestingly, Jesus doesn't speak to them there and then. He speaks to them indoors. Did you notice that? And it's indoors that he heals them. And he warns them not to tell anyone about this. And what I want you to notice is that Jesus is not interested in making a name for himself that can be misconstrued. Because the people had expectations of a Messiah who was coming, who would overthrow the Romans. Someone who was coming in military power. A warrior Messiah, if you like. But Jesus was far more than that. And he wants people to truly understand what the kingdom of God is all about. And so he heals these two blind men and then he warns them. Don't speak to anyone about this. Don't tell them about this. That seems quite strange to us, actually, isn't it? Why would Jesus do that? Surely the more publicity, the better. No, that's not the way Jesus sees it. He warns these two blind men, don't say anything. But what do we find? They're unable to keep quiet. And they spread the news about Jesus. Now, I don't want to focus in detail this morning on the healings and the casting out of a demon here. But what I do want us to notice here is that Jesus is able. That's what I want us to notice in this passage. Jesus is able. He is able to do these things. The blind men came to Jesus to heal them, and he does. The man who was demon-possessed was brought to Jesus, and Jesus drove out the demon. Now the question that Jesus asks the blind man, of course, is pertinent, isn't it? Do you believe that I am able to do this? That's what Jesus asks. And that's a great question for us to ask, isn't it? You see, in and of ourselves, we can do nothing like this. We can't go out and heal people who are blind. We just can't do that. But Jesus can. Why can he do that? Because he's divine. Because he is God. Because he is able. And as we look back over the past 10 years and all that has happened, we recognize that we could not do this in our own strength. But God is able. He's able to lead us. He's able to guide us. He's able to bless us. Because that is the kind of God that he is. And I simply want to ask you this morning, do you believe that he is? Do you believe that he's able to do these kind of things? Do you believe that he is powerful? Because sometimes we think that, you know, God is not greatly powerful. Look at what's happening in our world. It's a disaster. You know, look at our leaders in the world. They're the ones with the true power, aren't they? And we don't think that God is powerful. And we'd rather trust in ourselves rather than trust in him. But I simply ask you this morning, do you believe in him? And do you believe that he is able? Do you believe that he's able to deal with your needs, your sin, the things that you struggle with in your life? Do you believe? Jesus asked the blind man that question. And the blind man answered that question. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we believe. What about you this morning? Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is powerful? Now we then move on to the next part of the story. And this is the major part that I want to focus on this morning. Where Jesus moves through the towns and villages, teaching, proclaiming, and healing. And all the crowds are with him, aren't they? And as Jesus looks on these crowds, some clearly misunderstanding what Jesus is all about. That's why Jesus wasn't looking for publicity earlier on. As Jesus looks on these crowds, he has compassion. Because he sees they're harassed, he sees they're helpless, he sees they're like sheep without a shepherd. I don't know much about farming. The nearest I get to farming is going up to Lewis each year and there's sheep on the croft. That's as near as I get. But I guess if the sheep don't have a shepherd, they just do their own thing, don't they? They scatter in different directions. They need a shepherd, someone to give them direction, someone to look after them. And it's moved by this compassion for these crowds that Jesus says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Now what I want you to notice this morning is Jesus cared for these people. Jesus cared. He had compassion on these people. Sometimes we think Jesus doesn't care. He doesn't care for my situation. Doesn't care for my neighbors, doesn't care for my family. Jesus does. He does care. Of course he does. He cared for these people. He has compassion on them. And he sees that these people don't have enough leaders who are helping them. They're just confused. They're all over the place. They don't have any leadership. They're not being led in the right direction. They're never going to see the kingdom of God. And Jesus, with all the great need he sees before him, has compassion. But he also recognizes in his humanity that he can't do it on his own. He sees the harvest, but the workers are few. Workers are needed. And so he says to the disciples to pray for workers to go into the harvest field. As we look out on West Kilbride and Seamill this morning, I wonder what you see. What do you see in our community at this time? Do you have compassion? As Jesus had compassion. Do you see somewhere that is ripe for the harvest? Are we praying for workers to go out? As we reflect on the past 10 years of the church, it also might occur to us to think about where we're going as a church and to think through what the next 10 years, if we have 10 years, if the Lord doesn't return before then, what the next 10 years might look like. You see, these are challenging times for the church in Scotland. It's a challenging time for the Church of Scotland. Church membership in the Church of Scotland has plummeted markedly. In fact, more seriously, it's dropped through the floor. Let's be honest about it. 20 years ago, over 1 million. Today, 300,000. Two-thirds of the membership gone in the past 20 years. The Church of Scotland's also in the midst of a huge structural change as part of the Radical Action Plan, as agreed by the General Assembly last year. And as part of this, over 40 presbyteries are going to become between 12 to 15 presbyteries. These are challenging times for the church. And we in West Kilbride are not immune to this. As I said earlier, over the last 10 years, we've sadly lost over 170 members through death. And this in many ways reflects the top-heavy nature of the church, where most members are in the upper age brackets. Now, the encouraging thing, because we're not to be depressed today, is that during the past 10 years, we have gained 95 new members through profession of faith, transfer, or resolution. And many of those who are new have contributed in a great way to the church family here in West Kilbride. We have been blessed with the new people who have come in. And in many other places, that has not been replicated. And therefore, numbers have fallen dramatically. On the first Sunday of the Union of the Churches in January 2010, I preached from Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost son. And during the sermon, I referred to Martin Luther King's famous I Have a Dream speech. And I asked the question then, 10 years ago, what would be your dream for West Kilbride Parish Church? I said then, 10 years ago, it was to see the church grow, to see it vibrant, to see all ages represented with a thriving youth work, to see many come to know Jesus, that we might grow in our faith, that we might be excited, that we might be encouraged as we meet together, that we may be excited first and foremost about God. In the past 10 years, we've seen of some of that being fulfilled. We have much to be thankful for, but that is still the dream, isn't it? But throughout it all, we must recognize that we cannot do this in our own strength. If we do it in our own strength, we are bound to fail. But each and every day, we need to seek after the Lord and follow His leading and His guiding and His prompting. You see, I simply ask you this morning, do you believe that the harvest is plentiful in West Kilbride? Do you believe that the harvest is plentiful? And are we praying for workers? Because that's what Jesus asked the disciples to pray for. Now, the fascinating thing is that Jesus asked the disciples to pray for workers here at the end of chapter 9. I wonder if you just sneakily looked at chapter 10. Do you see what happened? In chapter 10, Jesus invites the 12 disciples to replicate his ministry and to go out into the harvest fields. The ones who are called to pray in the very next chapter are the ones who are sent out. Now, of course, we too, as God's people, are called to join in Jesus' ministry. We too are called to go and make disciples. We know that from Matthew 28. You see, we are so grateful for all that God has done in the past 10 years. But I believe that the harvest is plentiful in West Kilbride. There are many in West Kilbride who are like sheep without a shepherd, who are looking for guidance, who are looking to come into the kingdom. If only we can reach out to them in God's strength. We need to pray that many would come to God. And we count it as a privilege that God might even use us to bring them into the kingdom. Because we're all called to be workers, to share the good news among our families, our neighbours, and our friends. Do you have a dream that many would come to know Jesus in the next 10 years? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Do you not have that dream? That many might come to faith in him? You see, as much as we are grateful for the past and the foundations that have been built in the past, we look to the future and we trust a God who is able. He is able. He's still able to work in people's hearts. He's still able to draw people to himself. Do you believe it this morning? Will you pray for that here in West Kilbride? Will you pray that we grow deeper in our faith? Would you pray for your family and your friends and your neighbours that they too might come into a relationship with Jesus? Because that is the most important thing in the world. You see, I believe that Jesus looks out on West Kilbride and he has compassion. Do we look out on West Kilbride and have compassion? Do we seek that people would come into the kingdom of God? The hymn, of course, says this: "The fields are white unto harvest, but oh, the labourers are so few. So, Lord, I give myself to help the reaping, to gather precious souls unto you. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord." May this be our prayer as we move into 2020 and as we move into the years beyond, as we give thanks to God for the 10 years that have passed. Let's just spend some time, and we're just going to silently just reflect on all that God has been doing. We're going to reflect on God's word together, and then we'll pray once more. Let's just spend a time in quiet. Lord God, we thank you that you're a God who is able. And we ask for forgiveness for those times when we have wanted to trust in our own strength, when we've looked to ourselves rather than looking towards you. We thank you for your word to us this day, and we see Jesus opening the eyes of the blind, casting out demons. We see that he is powerful over all. And we pray that we would be ever found trusting in him. Lord God, we thank you also for the compassion that Jesus had on the crowds, that he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. He saw that the fields were white unto harvest, and yet the labourers were few. And Lord God, we believe that you have compassion on people, that you are looking for people to come to faith in you. You're looking for people to come into the kingdom, to know your forgiveness, to know your joy, to know your peace, to know newness of life. Lord God, may we be a people who, thanking you for the past, pray for the future, that we pray for our families and our friends and our neighbours, that they too might come into the kingdom of God and into a living relationship with you. Lord God, we believe that you have compassion upon West Kilbride. And we pray, Lord God, that we too would be a people of soft hearts who have compassion for those around us and who would desire, as you desire, that they come into the family of God. Heavenly Father, as we pray, we also recognize that you place a calling upon our lives. a calling to go and to make disciples. And we pray that you would give us the boldness to do this. We thank you that in the very next chapter, when you had asked the disciples to pray, that the disciples are sent out, that you sent them out into the harvest field. And we pray, Lord God, that we too would be willing to go. That we would be willing to go and gather precious souls unto you. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless us and watch over us and speak to us through your word this day, we pray. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.